find out what it's like to experience the world from above. Fly your own drone today. DroneCloneExperts.com specializes in high-quality, affordable drones. Now introducing their Limitless 2 model, equipped with a 4K camera for stunning Ultra HD clarity, GPS with precision auto return, and up to 25 minutes flight time on a single charge. Visit DroneCloneExperts.com now and enter promo code RADIO to receive 15% off your entire order. That's DroneCloneExperts.com.
Yo, what up, y'all? This is Scales and Skinny, and you're listening to Verbal Shenanigans. Keep it locked and nappy. Yo.
Guys.
But our shenanigans are cheeky and fun.
Yeah, I mean, his shenanigans are cruel and tragic.
Which makes them not shenanigans at all, really.
Evil shenanigans.
I swear to God, I'll pistol whip the next guy that says shenanigans.
Buddy, how are you? Scott and Mike here, Verbal Shenanigans Podcast. Mike, I would like to apologize to the audience for being late for too long. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Well, I mean, we don't do this live.
What do you mean?
Technically, they don't know.
I like to think that people are welcoming them in at the same time. So no matter what time they're listening, I'm just going to, you're late. Okay.
All right, I'll confess. Yeah, so I was at the mansion, and you know, the regular grass boy wasn't available.
grass boy, so
I had to go out there and you know, prune the lemon trees in my orchard and a few other items, such as mowing the lawn. And when I got to the Verbal Shenanigans Studios in downtown Atlanta, they had the Zoom meeting up, and all I saw was Scott there with his hands crossed, tapping his toes, looking at his watch, staring at me.
Yeah.
And it was very awkward. I had to go into the producer's office. I had to talk to the president of the company.
Yeah.
Where
do you meet with Sarah from HR tomorrow, bro? You got some bad news coming your way.
Listen, I had some PTO time coming up. I can just, you know, push some of that to the couple minutes I made you wait.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sure, that means 20 minutes less on my yacht, but I mean, I'm willing to sacrifice for the show.
Are you are you a guy who enjoys mowing the lawn, or is it like a thing you do not enjoy?
I enjoy it for the most part. It was a little frustrating. Because I actually did late last night, and my riding mower's messing up a little bit right now.
That's right. You're living the dream, man.
Yeah, but it was messing up, so I didn't mow it in a while, so there was like a ton of like clumps of grass. So I basically went out there this afternoon with a push mower to pick up a lot of the loose grass, because you don't do that, it gets like 90 something down here, it'll just destroy your lawn. Mm-hmm. So I took care of that for the most part. But for the most part, I like it.
What's your technique? Are you just back and forth? You try to go diagonal? Like, what is your lawn mowing grooming system?
I don't really have a great system. It's just basically go straight and then look back and go, oh, miss that spot and come back around.
So if we go to the Burler lawn, there's just a lot of like turns and all sorts of patterns going on in the lawn.
A lot of zigzags, you know. I mean, what I do every week is I mow in the lawn the latest episode link.
So oh, do
I
you?
Have to go and yeah. You know, the wife says,
the link.
You know, you already got the Verbal Shenanigans Podbeam in there. I'm like, no, I gotta do it fresh every week and then do the / and then our guest.
Yeah, that's a high degree of difficulty.
Yeah, and a lot of people point out, I don't really get a lot of aircraft around my house where they could look at it and subscribe, so it's kind of pointless. But I'd like to think somewhere out there, there's a person in a blimp that listened to our Goodyear pilot podcast one time and said, now you got me.
In the blimp, or they just happened to fly a blimp?
It's hard to tell, Scott. I don't I don't talk to many blimp people. I just acknowledge them. I just look up. I give them the finger point. And then we had the bond as they look at the link in my grass.
Wow. So you like give them a thumbs up and they give you like one out the window and you can kind of see it, you know? And
yeah.
Hey, Mike.
You got to get the binoculars out. And they get the fists in the air. I'm like, all right, we bonded.
Well, if we were a blimp, we would be probably more Hindenburg-esque than anything else. But hello.
Well, we are a Jersey podcast, so that makes sense.
That's true. So guys, welcome to the show. If you are just tuning in, Verbal Shenanigans is a weekly show. Lately we've been rocking out twice a week, so you can catch us more often. We know that you need more of us in your life. You just want more, need more, and we're trying to bring you more. So, just coming off a great episode with Miss Janet Devlin, the fellow ginger on the show. I think we need more ginger, influence on the show. I can't just hold this myself.
You feel that after all these years of just, you know, doing random interviews and all, keep up the kind of different interesting topics, you say scrap everything and yes, we're the Ginger Podcast.
Yeah, I was going to tell everyone the new name is Let's Talk to Gingers. That's the name of the show. And every week we just bring a new ginger on, which is actually a really funny idea. But
well, I might have to make a debate show, and since I'm not a ginger, I can be like, "You're wrong."
Yeah, I maybe I'll start that on the side weekly. Let's chat with gingers. It wouldn't go very far though. I would probably, I know like 3 or 4 comics. Then it would start to get more and more boring. I would assume I'd just like be reaching to normal people, like, "Hey, it's a janitor," you know, like from yeah, I don't know, but. Let's chat with gingers. Yeah, catch that next week.
Your poor wife. You got 2 of these. You get the Ginger Podcast. That son or daughter of yours will never see you.
That's the plan. But I didn't even know. Growing up, I never even heard the term ginger. Like I never knew that was like a redheaded person. Really, until like that whole South Park gingers with no souls episode or whatever. Like, I really didn't even know that a ginger was a redhead growing up.
Now, is a full ginger the one redhead and freckles, or is it just specifically red hair?
I'm not sure. I thought it was like red hair, but I guess maybe the freckles are like the icing on the top. But gingers, we definitely like we were thrown right into the like we're right up front in like the jokes. We're pretty early on, and when people make fun of, it's like, oh, gingers are pale, or hey, we have no souls. So what I'm saying, Mike, is I'm offended, and I think this needs to stop, and I can no longer take it.
Well, I feel like we should have tiers of gingers, you know? I mean, okay, the ones that were like, all right, they're kind of cool. We'll give them a soul and let them come up to the afterlife with us, and then the rest of you. So, the 9 that I kind of like, we'll give it to. Like, Janet, she was a sweet girl. She's coming up.
Where would I fit into that? Would I be in that tier?
You know, you'd be like, you'd kind of be like Joe Jacoby, where, like, every year it's like, I deserve to be in heaven.
Right.
And we always have this debate. Yeah, his numbers look good, but then every year we just bring like Carrot Top in. We're like, oh,
so you
bigger name. We needed entertainment.
If you were in charge of Ginger Heaven, you'd bring Carrot Top in before me.
Well, I mean,
buddy, we've done 310 of these together, and you're leaving me out. You're bringing Carrot Top, a prop comic, into heaven.
Whoa. Like, I know you still do the stand up thing, but you're going to legitimately say, we take a poll. Who's the best redheaded comic? You're saying you're topping Carrot Top in numbers.
Well, no, I guess I'm not.
Well, I mean, it could
best redheaded comic would have to be Bill Burr, I think. He doesn't really have any hair anymore, but he was very redheaded at one point. But yeah, I think he would take that title down.
Does one be a ginger if thou not have red hair? Interesting. Well, that's a deep one.
Well, that would be like
the first heaven debate.
Right.
Like, as we're letting the first ones in, we're like, yeah, we can let him in. Nah, he's a ginger. But he lost all his hair. And then it's just like constant back and forth.
So you think when you bald, like when you lose your hair, you shed your ginger status, is what you're saying?
Yeah. that I mean, you're erasing what makes you soulless, ergo it kind of grows in your body, and then poof, you come upstairs.
Like, when I was younger, I had my hair was much redder. I kind of like more blonde as I got older, but I definitely always had the whole freckle thing. So I think, I guess I technically been a ginger for like I didn't even know that Ginger Spice, the Spice Girl, that meant that she was a, like the redheaded one. I guess I was really late to the ginger term, if you will. But I feel like
it's were in that culture all that time.
Yep.
And you didn't look at your history. I'm a little ashamed of you, buddy. I got to be honest with you.
I wasn't a good member of. Of the ginger population, I'll tell you that.
Yeah. I feel that you shunned your community. You tried to be like, no, it's like a lighter brown I got on here. It's not red. It's not red. Like, you're shunning it. Where everybody's like, why don't you just come out of the closet and say you're ginger? Yeah. And you're like, no, man.
We never, like... there's no football teams named after us. There's no like New York Gingers or anything like that. Or I feel like it's a relatively newer term that has been popularized over the last decade. Speaking of football teams, your football team back in the old Redskin debate, I guess, if you will. How long have they been bringing this up? Maybe 10 years, 15 years. You've heard this chatter about changing the name. How do you feel about that? What is your... have you come to the point where you're like, yeah, they should just do it, or are you still holding on?
I think it's pretty much... I've said this for a while. I mean, how I became a fan was just... I happened to be watching the Super Bowl. That was the year Riggins ran through Miami and won the Super Bowl, and I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to stick with this team and move forward with it. So I'm a Washington football team fan.
Right.
If they're going to be the Redskins, I'll root for the Redskins. If they're going to be the Red Hawks, I'm going to root for the Red Hawks.
Wait a minute.
Not going to sit back and...
Maybe they could be the Gingers.
Yeah, but I mean, you would be Redskins just because you'd be in the sun for 5 minutes.
Exactly. Maybe it's the new, it's the way to get around it. It's the Washington Gingers.
So we'll take the chief off the helmet, and it'll just be Scott Brennan. It'll
be a sunburned silhouette.
Suit, like, completely. I just see you standing there, like, with your palms out, going, oh, what happened?
I think it's a good seller. I think it sells real well. You know, like, and then you look forward to those NFC easy battles between the Cowboys and the Gingers, you know? It's but there's I think it's come to the point where, you know, it's, you're gonna have people who wanna keep it, but like, is it worth it, like, to have this debate about it every year, the pressure to ramp it up every single year? Like, I feel like at some point Daniel Snyder's gotta budge.
Well, he's going to budge because for the reason that everybody said would be the eventual reason why he would have to budge. His sponsors came back and said, you're going to change it. His the minority owners of the team, the three guys that own 40%, they're basically looking to sell. They're sick of dealing with him.
Yeah.
It's just going to happen. I'll be honest. So I remember when AOC tweeted back at them during everything that was going on with Black Lives Matter, where she's like, if you want to show something, change your name, where I was kind of like, this ain't really the best time to be pushing this envelope.
Right.
And it wasn't even like a saying, oh, that's a bad idea. It was more a line of, what, you really need to add them into this whole ordeal and all, where we should be concentrating on that.
Yeah.
But like I said, it's all about money. I mean, as much as everybody be like, good job, Daniel Snyder, in the end, what will happen is you get a new name, which means new merchandise, which means he'll probably double or triple his revenue, because everybody has to get rid of the Redskin stuff and get their Red Hawks or Warriors or whatever. The only item I have in this fight is basically, so if they base... announced, let's say tomorrow, okay, they are the Red Hawks. Are you banning anybody who has like Redskins jackets, t-shirts, whatever, from coming to the games?
Yeah, I don't.
And
I don't
if
think
you're going to be like that, are you going to do the right thing and go, well, you're our fans, you paid money for that shirt, so here's a new shirt or a new hat or a new jacket or something like that? That's more my take of it, because I, like I said, I'm not going to sit back and go, I'm going to die a Redskins fan. I will never admit there anything else. I mean, like I said, if Miami stopped John Riggins on 4th and 1, I'd be having Dolphin stuff all over my house right now. It's just, it was just the way it goes. Like, everybody's like, no, I'm a diehard Yankees fan. It's like, I mean, in some cases, people did choose to do that, but in most cases, it's either A, you lived in New Jersey or New York, B, you had a parent who was into the team, or C, you're just like, oh, they win a lot, that's my team.
Do you think
it's not like you just picked it? It's not like kind of like what you almost did with the Warriors, where you just said, right, I'm gonna pick a name out of the hat and that's my team, and so be it.
Right. Do you think you think if they change, like, one, you know, if one pin falls, all the other teams are going to kind of follow suit? Like, the only one I can think of was like St. John's, right? They were the Red Men. Now they're the Red Storm. But do you think it, you know, if the Redskins, you know, bud, you think like the Cleveland Indians and all these other things are going to do the same?
Well, I mean, Indians are already looking into it. I mean, their nickname's a tribe, and right, I think that's a proper term, where I think they'd be good with calling themselves the Cleveland Tribe.
I thought about that too.
I mean, going down like the Braves, I don't think they have an issue with the name. They might want to stop doing the tomahawk chop during the game. That might be something.
Listen, I will be completely supportive of them changing that, because I cannot stand that chant. It's so there's nothing better than seeing like an old redneck white man with like his, you know, 100 pounds overweight, but like, it's just yuck. I can't stand that chant.
Yeah, I mean, I and it's a question of how far do they go after that. Like, I mean, some people are pushing the, well, then we should get rid of Vikings and Buccaneers because, oh, well, they were pillagers and rapists. It's kind of
some
like
pirate out there.
I don't think anybody's walking around saying my life was affected by a Buccaneer. I mean, technically, I guess a pirate. Some people have done that.
Some pirate. You're going to see pirates out in the streets protesting soon. Well,
you're just mad because I stole your land and your woman. Arr!
Now you could bet online on what the Redskins names are, possible names are going to be. So far, apparently the consensus on like some of the best names are as the Red Tails. That's +400 on Bovada right now. I don't know what it's on DraftKings, Mike. So if you laid a nice hundo, you would make $400 if you're thinking that the Red Tails is going to win. That's a nod to the Tuskegee Airmen. So are you down with the Red Tails?
It's not a terrible name.
Yeah, I don't think.
I
it's
mean,
bad.
You keep the R in there, so you can keep stuff like "Hail to the Red Tails," you know, "Hater," stuff like that. I mean, it's still functional.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's the kind of two I'm leaning towards, either something with red in the name or something that's a better name, representative of Native Americans,
right,
where we can keep the emblem and just change the name. Yeah. I mean, I'm not sure if that's an available thing on the table, but those are really my two options.
Well, with even higher, I guess lower odds, +300 on Bovada is the Warriors. And some suggestions of bringing that jersey with the arrow on it.
The spear.
Yeah. So, which I think would be pretty cool. And I think that's a pretty good in-between. You know, you get to use something from, you know, a uniform from history. And I mean, Washington Warriors sounds pretty nice. It's not bad.
It's not terrible.
So why does this website want to keep? And the other one that is, apparently there's the Washington Hogs. It's an option out there throwing it, I guess, to their you know, cross-dressing.
Their offensive line.
Yeah. And then you could have the Hoggets back. You know, like, they could be... And then there's some of the worst ones that people are apparently very against. There's the Presidents, Mike. Would you like to be the Washington Presidents fan?
That's like something like a teacher goes, Daryl, if you had a team in Washington, what would you name it? Washington Presidents. There's nothing to it. There's no, like, grip, for lack of a better term, with the mascot name. Nothing where you go, ooh, that sounds cool.
Yeah.
It's just cheesy and it's like on the spot kind of stuff.
The other options on Bet Online and Bovada are the Lincolns, which I just think is just terrible. And you also
I think the Roosevelts are later on in that list as well, which it makes absolutely no sense.
Yeah, the Arlingtons is another one, which I don't know, man. Yeah. It's not catchy whatsoever. So I mean, you got the Red Tails, the Warriors. I think both of those sound, you know, they're catchy enough. They're not like drastic, like super drastic, where you'd be like, oh, that's like, you know, that's so different and not even anything to do with the team and the history of the team. So I would go with either of those two, I think, would be my favorite for them.
Yeah, I know some people talk about the Monuments, which I guess if you went from like a DC perspective would be the best of the names, but not really my cup of tea for
I feel like in today's day, what's going on right now, you do not want to be called the Monuments. Monuments. it's not a good idea. They seem to all be coming down. I don't think we're going to see a lot of sports, man. Like, the way these things are, like, teams are getting... I think a lot of these sports are not going to get off the ground. They just said Dallas today from MLS is out. They had, like, nine cases, and they're just... I think they're just sitting out. Like, they're just not entering the tournament that they were trying to plan. I see there were spikes in there were a bunch of hockey players tested. There's some baseball, like, coaches that are, like, really weary about playing. I think Nick Markakis today said he's not going to play.
He's out.
I don't know, man. I just don't – I think the NBA is going to pull it off with their whole bubble situation. But it's like at some point it's also like is – they got to be weighing if it's worth it to come back, you know?
Well, I mean, the only money they're resting on is the television deals.
Yes.
And I don't know what the contracts say, where I'm sure nobody put in a contract. Hey, by the way, if we have a global pandemic, you still owe us money.
Yeah.
But it's going to be hard to say because, you know, these athletes, like, I can just think back and all. You remember the stories of Lawrence Taylor where he would sneak, like, prostitutes to, like, the opposing team's running back.
Yep.
I totally just see him finding some girl with COVID and, like, here's $5,000. Go cough on Joe Theismann's toothbrush, you know?
LT would definitely do that.
Yeah.
That would definitely be something LT would do. But
I just see these guys going to try to sneak out of the bubble or something like that because – most of these sports are coming back to Florida. Beautiful weather down there. I'm sure somebody's sitting back going, man, I'd like to hit the beach or something like that. I'm sure there's got to be some way you can sneak out like a window and get out and come back or even pay a guy. Listen, I never left my room. Something's going to happen. And then to add to it, these sports keep on trying to say, well, it won't be empty. We'll put 20% of the fans in there, and you're just like, you're just begging for this answer.
Yeah.
You're begging for it.
I mean, I think the sports that are going to be traveling too, like, that are still intending to travel back and forth and go to different opposing, I just don't see it being a good situation. I think it's, and they're getting so late in the seasons, you know, you're getting, baseball's doing 60 games, like, that's not a lot. You got hockey, which is going to apparently start soon, but I think they just said a whole bunch of teams tested, you know, had flare-ups or something like that, and they're doing a tournament, which I get. Mm-hmm. You could, you know, it is the time to, like, try wacky ideas and try interesting stuff, but I don't know, man. I feel like golf is going to do great. NASCAR can still do great. UFC is doing phenomenal with it. UFC, it's almost like, it's to me, it's not even that much worse. It's kind of like a different angle on the sport. And it's, you know, what do you got? Two coaches, three coaches, two guys in the ring, a ref, some announcers. You know, you could really, you can pull it off. Baseball, you got so many coaches and players. I don't know, man. I don't know how they're going to pull it off.
Well, add to it, like, they got a rule. They're saying, well, we're going to force no spitting on. And it's well, what are you going to do? You're going to, like, eject somebody out of the game? Or are you going to, if somebody spits, are you going to bring out a cleaning crew to clean up that area? I mean,
that's how the Mets will lose the World Series. They'll get to the end. They'll have a man on third ready to score, two outs, and he'll spit, and it'll be like an automatic out. And it'll be like, and the Mets lose.
And the Florida Marlins retain the title.
Yeah, but I don't know, man. I don't know. It's everything's gone. Everything's nuts, man. I don't know. I'm really interested to see what football is even going to look like. I know they're like cutting the preseason games, but the way it's looking at this moment, it's not looking like anything is going to really be open. Like, I cannot see football being like, okay, 80,000 people, come on in. Like, it's regular, we're ready to go. And football of all sports, you're in each other's faces. And I don't know, man. I don't know what's going to happen here.
Mm.
But I think...
Yeah, I think what it'll boil down to is when they get the vaccine, because it's, no matter how good of a thing you do, it's going to...
Yeah, it's gonna run.
Somebody's gonna screw it up.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
But I think it's time to transition to our guests. Two guests tonight. I'm pretty excited about this one. I think if I'm not mistaken, I may have seen them once at the Warped Tour too. But Mike, who we got tonight?
Tonight we're going to be talking with two members of the hip-hop band, the Nappy Roots, Fish Scales and Skinny DeVille. We're going to be talking with them about their four decades making music for the Grammy Award-nominated band with the new song Blind Faith that dropped this month. And the two are also into craft beer, so we're going to be chatting with them on their brand Atlantucky Brewing.
All right. So I'm excited to get Skinny and... Fish Scales on the show. They've been around for a very long time, and they've been doing music, and they're still putting out new stuff. So it should be cool to talk to them. So let's get them on the line. Hey,
there we go. What up?
How's it going, man? How are you?
Everything is going. No complaints. What's cracking?
Not much, man. Just sweating and doing interviews right now. So it's not too bad.
I can dig it.
So, guys, first off, I want to thank the two of you for giving us some time here. Really, really appreciate it. I was looking, kind of getting ready for this interview, and I kind of couldn't believe that your first album is almost 20 years old already. Is that mm-hmm. hard? Is that really hard to digest? Like, or does it feel that long?
For me, man,
we're counting down the years now. It'll be 2022. I think that the timing couldn't be better.
What about you, Fish?
I don't know, man. It varies. It does kind of seem like it's been long. You know, it's kind of weird when you go do shows and people come up to you and tell you how their parents was partying with you along.
Yeah, yeah.
How you're their grandmother's favorite rap group.
Okay, you're not that old yet.
Come on. You'll be surprised. But it's fun, though. To me, it's fun, man. But, yeah, it is. It shocks you a little bit to know that we actually started this in the mid-90s to just know how far back it was. And it kind of make me more proud. Like, man, we still doing it and pursuing it, you know. And I'm proud of us for sticking to it.
Yep.
Now, Fish, you were originally
from Georgia and you met up with the group going to Western Kentucky. Out of curiosity, when you went to Kentucky, was it the same kind of vibe? Or was there like different kind of beats or something to the music when you went over there? Or was it just as natural as Georgia?
It was natural, but yeah, it was just totally different. You know, just for one thing, you know, not living under your parents' roof, you start experiencing different things and trying different things and have more responsibility on you. But music was big in college. Like, I guess once I got to college, some of us gravitated to a certain type of music. Like, me and my friends were East Coast fans. Mm-hmm. And most of Kentucky at the time was all about West Coast, you know, E-40 and the Click. So you kind of built your identity off of music, finding your clique of people who listen to the same music as you. You kind of create your identity off that.
Now I got to ask you, the two of you have like one of the best rap names, you know, between the group and your individual names. I love them. Like, I got to ask, I love asking, did you guys go through a weird period where you were trying out different names that just didn't work for you? Like, and would you share any of those with us? Or is that like, we don't talk about those days? Let's start with you, Skinny.
when I first started, I was based off my nickname, San, it's my middle name. And it's half of my middle name. And so my first rap name was San Spawn because I was like, I'm coming from hell, rapping, I don't give a shit, you know what I'm saying? And then I cut the Spawn off and it was just San for a little while. And then after we made that first album for Atlantic Records that didn't come out, it got shelved. That was 98. And I had to do a reinvention. I had to start from zero again and start all the way from scratch. And I was just like, just thinking of some cool shit. And I'm, you know, my mother's nickname was Skinny when she was growing up. And I'm from the Ville. And when I used to work at GE with my mother, I used to go and try to see on my breaks. And they would say, there goes little Skinny right there. And I'm like, nah, I'm Big Skinny. But that didn't make sense either. So I just kind of took the Skinny and Skinny from the Ville and then Skinny Dayville. But it wasn't going to be Skinny De La Ville. So I just said Skinny DeVille. I'm going to come hard. I'm going to be, you know, kind of like, you know, have an edge like Cruella DeVille. And I'm just going to use my slim toothpick physique and just kind of lean in that way with it. So
love it.
I had to start from zero a couple times.
All right. Now, as cool as Fish Scales, that is like the first time you hear it. You're like, oh, my God, like what is it? Like, where did you get that from? How did that originate? And what were you going on? There's something else before that or no?
Yeah, I mean, my name, I really didn't have a rap name. I just had a name, you know, that my partners called me, and it was Big Mel, which was short for my first name. And that was my basketball team. Everybody called me that. So it was just because I'm 6'5", and my name's Mel. Really wasn't that interesting. But I would say it in rhymes, and I would rhyme it with fish scales all the time, like Big Mel got riding around with fish scales. Fish scales talking about dope. And then I realized, you know, it was negative. Once we came out, actually, after we came out and started having success, you know, I realized that it was a negative term, kind of, you know, and something that I ain't even associated with anymore. So I had to find a meaning to it. And I just started searching. And then I realized scales is my zodiac sign, you know, being a Libra. And I said, that's pretty cool. I can, you know, that kind of makes sense, has a little story to it. And so I just kind of went with scales, man, and rather leaned on that instead of the old connotation of it, fish scales.
Nice.
Now, for what I read up, like you guys, like started recording music at like a little mom and pop kind of record store. You built a studio. When this was first coming to be, did you guys kind of come together and say there was a group, or was everybody kind of coming in individually and then come up with the idea of like teaming up?
We kind of had the name Nappy Roots before the store. We was a group of individuals, a collective in a sense. There was more of us at that time, you know, and so
we already had the kind of idea when our partners decided to open a record store. We saw the space and saw an opportunity to try to put some real estate in kind of, you know, even the score a little bit. So everyone's kind of there for the same reason. Some guys work the record store while the other guys kind of manned the studio and worked on that side, whether you're a producer or engineer or you sold CDs. You know, my girlfriend at the time worked on the other side of the record store. She's my wife now. But,
all right.
You know, we kind of, you know, use hip hop as a basis. But the cool thing about ET's is it was made by college students. It was kind of like the first black owned independent mom and pop shop there. There really was no mom and pop. It was just college students, you know,
okay.
Just a bunch of cool guys kind of, you know, operating. And we used to get distribution. We used to get different distributors, you know, sending us music tapes and CDs and whatnot. So we had, you know, relationships from the Northwest to the Midwest to the South. And so on the other side, we was able to make the music and put it right on the shelf with all the other music we was getting in. And so we was able to kind of work this symbiotic relationship between the record store and the students that were trying to, you know, aspire to be artists, whether you're a producer or R&B or just straight up hip hop. We were all working together in tandem to try to get music on the other side and understand how the business works from a consumer standpoint. And it worked out.
It sure did, man. I mean, and you know, I've been following you guys on and off for, you know, probably since All Gnaw came out, and I always considered you guys. What I really loved about you guys, you were always unapologetically black. You always brought up black issues. You embraced black culture. You never tried to, I don't know what's the word, sway too far to the pop. Like, you guys always kind of had a message. And like a lot of rap groups, I loved Jurassic 5, and I loved guys like that. And I found you in that similar vein, just very intelligent, and you stuck to that. And yeah, of course we got songs that we want to play at barbecues, and they're fun, and they're poppy. But you guys always still had a message behind you. Now, I'm fascinated by the writing process. Do you guys come together and say we're going to cover a topic in the song? Does every person bring kind of their individual verses and whatnot, and then it puts all together? Like, how do you guys collaborate when you write?
Oh, man, it varies, man. Uh-huh. It varies. There's 99 ways to skin a cat, you know, and, you know, the methodology of it. You have six, well, in college, you were six individuals and two or three producers. And so you can think of all the combinations of that happening while we were in college. And then when we got signed to Atlantic, it was the six individuals and many different producers. And so a producer might bring a beat,
right,
and you know, you write right there on the spot to it, and there's that. You might have a hook that you want to bring to a song, and you're just finding the right beat, kind of like Double Dutch, to kind of jump and make sense that way.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's what are we talking about before we even get started. And we all work on the hook together. And then once we have the hook, everyone kind of knows what to write about. Then sometimes I just have a verse. This is the beat I brought, and this is the verse, and everyone else, this is what I contributed, and if they like it, they jump on it. If they don't, they don't. If they don't like it, it's a solo record. You know, if they do like it, it's a Dap Root record. Or they might say that shit sucks, and it's not even a record.
What about you, Scales? What's your preferred way of work?
Me personally, I like to write when I'm alone.
Okay.
Whenever the vibe comes, not forcing it, there's no time constraint, just I catch a vibe and I might write like four or five verses in a matter of like 20 minutes and just I just catch a vibe, and then I take them same verses, bring them to the studio, and I just lay them all down quick. You know, out of five, three may work. You know, Skinny may hear it and be like, yo, I get with that, and vice versa. They bring something to the studio that catch me off guard, and I hear it with a fresh ear, and, you know, we just jump on it. But I like when I can write by myself, then bring it to the table, and we all just chop it up and do what we're supposed to do to it. And because for me, it's kind of harder when, like, if I miss a studio date and I come back and Skinny and Steel or Skinny and Clutch then killed the record, it's kind of hard for me to write to it after that, because foundation is already laid. I either like to write by myself, or I like to start with the group. Everybody start from scratch. You know, nobody head start. Just we all listen to a beat for the first time, and that's when crazy, you know, collaboration come out.
Yeah.
How much did it change from when you guys were on your independent label to when you get signed by Atlantic? Did you still have that natural flow, or was when you get involved with like a big record studio, do you get a lot of like people chirping in your ear about certain things?
Well, I'll say in the beginning, man, it was like when I said on my first song was like 48 bars with no hook. Yep. We was rapping, man. We had songs where we had no hooks. We just rapped all the way through them. But once we got signed, it was more of a blessing, man, because they really taught us about writing songs.
Making songs, so
not just rapping, writing songs, you know. And this was an era, like 98 to 2002, where hip-hop was getting away from just spitting dope verses and was becoming a songwriting business, you know. So we learned how to write music. Our second album that we ever did was called No Comb, No Brush, No Fade, No Perm. And you could hear the growth from the album earlier from 1998 that we did called Country Fried Sess. You could just hear the growth in a matter of 2 years of dealing with Atlantic Records and going in the studio and recording music with the idea that, hey, we got to impress these guys. We got to make music that people in New York would actually like. And, you know, that was a big step for me as an artist.
Yeah. A lot of what Atlantic Records did was they helped us get famous, you know what I'm saying? But we still had to put the work in to be successful, you know? The touring, the grinding, the going city to city in a van and talking to radio, you know, execs and things of that nature, know how to learn, shake hands and kiss babies. We learned a lot of that from being at a major label. And so we took that when we went independent and still kept those same principles in line when we started, you know, and getting out there and again, driving for 4 or 5 months, just working a record and staying true to how to record a record and, you know, tracking out songs and how to stack your vocals and how to nail your ad-libs and not to be too messy as, you know, as an independent artist, you don't really see structure that way. But once you get it, you line it up right and you know, and those things you don't ever forget, and those things will make you a better artist. The technical side of it, you know what I'm saying? Like before that, we was on a rolling VS 880 with an 8-track and didn't, you know, that we were cool with that. When you get to, you know, Atlantic, you're on a 2-inch reel to reel and you're in an SSL and things sound bigger and you now what's that and who is this and what is the session player and things like that, you kind of bring along with you on the independent side to still bring the polished part of it, you know what I'm saying? As an independent, you're raw, you're uncut, you're rough around the edges, you're a puzzle and you're perfect with that. But when you're on a major label, you have to be polished up and you have to be shiny, you know what I'm saying? And to put both of those together is kind of what makes Nappy Roots who they are, because we started off independent, we got signed for a few years, and then we chose to go back independent. So we took the knowledge, the name, the hype, the brand, and used that to continue to make music the way we wanted to make it and not be, you know, because again, like you just said, with how the times change and not trying to be like everyone else, we stay true to who we are, and that's what Nappy Roots kind of means. We're not conforming to fads and things of that nature. And so we...
We might have lost Skinny there for a second.
I'm breaking up. To tie into it, it's definitely a balance we had to find, too, because like Skinny said, you had to smooth it up. What up, Nappy? Doing all right? It's a balance you have to get because... We met at the first album that we actually made for Atlantic Records, that didn't come out. In my opinion, it was way too polished. We lost the gritty, the rawness, and we tried to make this album. It was jazzy. Everything had live instruments on it. A lot of, you know, crooning, singing. But we lost some of the rawness. But by the time we got the Watermelon Chicken and Grits, it was like. We learned how to make a song, yet keep it raw and you know, straight kid style.
Well, Skinny kind of segue into exactly what I wanted to talk about. You know, times change, you know, for some ways in the better with music, you're able to really, you know, if you've got a decent computer and some decent mics, you can really, you know, kind of at least demo your stuff pretty damn well and create stuff. So I wanted to ask you guys, you know, with this, you know, you just released, what was the name of the song?
Blind Faith.
Blind Faith. Yeah, yeah. I was actually listening to it today in the car, and I love the beat, and I really dig the song, and it's got, you know, it's got a vibe of kind of exactly what both of you are saying. It's got a really kind of polished, awesome beat, but then it's also, it's got a free flow kind of sound to it where it's, you know, a little loose and a little raw, and I really dig that sound. So when you have like something like this pandemic, right, and we're stuck inside or studios are shut down or things just aren't normal, you're not able to tour, are you guys finding yourselves more creative at the moment, like writing, or are you having a hard time getting, you know, inspired when you're just kind of stuck?
I think more creative for me.
Okay.
I mean, time to sit still, done more reading. Yeah.
Which, when I had it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I was saying reading. Reading is probably the best thing a rapper can do, in my opinion, is reading. And I've had a lot of time to sit back, read, and just absorb a lot of stuff. And me and Ben, we're together about 3 or 4 times a week, just, strategizing, man. So I've been more creative. You know, I would think being on the road, having different experiences would make you write more. But for me, it's kind of like I get in live performance mode or I'm in record mode.
Right.
It's like two different rappers, though. Two totally different rappers. One is all about hitting the stage, partying, having a good time. One is about, you know, just reflecting on the past year and writing about it.
What about you, Skinny?
Yeah, I found this time, this solace moment to be what I needed, because on the road, I'm so busy and it's very hard for me to write on the road. But when I'm at home, like Scale said, I'm reading a couple books for mental, you know, stimuli. I'm hanging out with my kids. But I'm also having enough time to sit down and listen to beats that people sent me. And, you know, just an hour a day. I just spend about an hour a day sometimes just writing or reading or listening to some music, freestyling in my head, or just, you know, just keeping my brain and my words flow, you know, just kind of just energizing and exercising those. So when I do get in the studio, I can just go in there with some of those techniques that I've been working myself, practicing on, and I can get in there and kind of do what I do.
Right.
I kind of write on the spot. I don't really like to write a bunch of verses
okay.
anymore. I used to when I was younger, but not these days.
Nice. Considering like the message in Blind Faith, are you almost shocked with everything that just pretty much happened in these last few weeks, or is it almost poetic that it kind of like sticks to the point of what's everything's going on there, especially when your former member R. Prophet, what he went through with the police?
I know. What's crazy is we did that record back last September.
Yep.
And we planned on releasing it in December, just because it was daylight savings, it's darker, kind of a dark record, you know, not really attaching it to any kind of movement or anything that was happening in real time, you know. And then when we got off the road in March, because of the pandemic, we had time to really sit down and plot and plan the next album and the singles. And so we thought that one would be first because it was done. That was just a song that was done before all the rest of the songs. And we said, let's just kind of get this one out because it'll at least give us a start. And then after we submitted it to our distribution company, Ingrooves, you know, all kind of shit started happening, you know. And that was even before the individual started dying and being killed by police officers. We had the video idea before that started happening. And so while our video guy was shooting the video, because we were trying to do a pandemic video and not kind of be in it, so we just kind of let the director kind of just, you know, get these scenes. Then, you know, all hell broke loose and he just captured that moment within that. And so it was almost meant to be. We thought about maybe taking it off because of the times and not being so insensitive to them or being like opportunists. Because, you know, we're not trying to chase the fad or chase what's going on right now. But I kind of thought like Marvin Gaye, when he was doing What's Going On and how he kind of got to push Motown to put that record out. It's like, we kind of got to do it, man. I presented it for some of the people that I really trusted, and they said, go for it, man. And
it's like a Sam Cooke, you know, Sam Cooke playing to, you know, audiences that they were trying to change his lyrics and center. I think you should 100% keep the, you know, keep the Absolutely. Message coming out and the material coming out for sure.
Thank you. That means a lot.
No, for sure. I mean, Absolutely. Considering, you know, like what is going on in this world, I think it's important for you guys. You were mentioning it before. You've kind of stayed true to yourself, and I kind of mentioned before you've always been delivering Black pride and the great things, the dirty everything about the cult, like culture, and you wrap it into song. And I think your music can almost be like I think it's almost more discoverable now. Some of the older because it. You know, it is a celebration of culture, Southern culture, rap culture. Like, you guys do a very good job of illustrating kind of your lives and where you come from. And I really think it's funny how time goes on, and now all of a sudden it's like, wow, that song almost takes on a new meaning. Like, and it kind of can educate people.
Yeah, I would be lying if I said we didn't believe that one day a lot of our music would be, you know, would get a better light on it. And I just feel like I think anytime you just sit down and think about the music you're making and think about what's going on in the world, you know, it kind of recycles itself, man. It comes back around. You know, some of the stuff we was talking about in the first 40 acres, a lot of that is coming back. You know, and it just come up, just us being true to ourselves. There's always gonna be a lot of people who can relate to it.
I agree. Yeah.
Consistency also. Consistency, you know, just trying to stay consistent with, and again, true to our own values and principles. And, you know, and you look back over your career and either you stood for something or you didn't, you know. And I think what allows us to be who we are and comfortable in our own skin is because, one, we're a group and we can lean on each other for those things. When one might kind of waver or feel like he wants to go off and do what's hot right now for the sake of survival, that's cool. But the other two or three members are kind of bringing back in, and we'll support you on that, but this is what we're doing. Well, that might have been the problem with the other two members that left, is because we kind of didn't go the direction they probably wanted us to go as a group, because we knew that this is what the overall gist of the group has to be, is about this. For a career, it has to be like this, not wishy-washy, and you're all over the place, like, you know, a leaf in a fall, you know, storm. Like, we have to be solid and stay grounded in our roots of what we believe in, and sticking together, working hard. And that, and I know you said like Black pride, but it's almost like it's American pride though.
Right.
We're happy to be country. We're happy to be Black, right. But we're human beings. And we just, you know, it's almost a class thing. Like, we're poor folks, you know, there's people that live up here and have a metropolitan lifestyle. And, you know, they make, you know, over $300,000 a year. They have a penthouse loft, and that's cool. We're not about that. We're like, my parents worked every day, you know, two and three jobs. Right. My father got involved in real estate just to flip houses, but I was there with him. Like, I worked like he did. And we're kind of working your way up from what you know, kind of thing. And that's kind of roots, but that's roots and that's heritage. And I can throw the word heritage. It can go two different directions right now in America. But there
right.
There is some Southern pride within us as well. That's not that side, but it's still proud to be where we're from. And that's cool.
For sure.
Very American. Like, we joke a lot. Like, we're a lot of people's first Black friend. Like, Nappy, we go to a lot of places. Okay. Yeah, so we have to keep up, because that's what our white friends in Montana like about us. You know, they like that we're different, and we like that they're different. You know, we've been blessed to be able to go to all these places and embrace these other cultures and teach people about our culture. So we have to keep a level of Black awareness, you know.
I agree 100%.
And the way I feel we've done it, we hadn't isolated people. Like, you look out in our crowd, and it's a very diverse crowd at our shows. And that's definitely one of my missions, you know, is just to never isolate anyone, but be myself at the same time, you know, and welcome you into my world and vice versa. And I feel like Nappy Roots done a good. I would love to be known as the group that did that.
For sure. I mean, like, as Skinny was touching on, like, you stayed to what you were doing. And I mean, how many times have you gone back into an artist catalog and been like, you know, I really didn't give this album a chance when it came out, and then you listen, you're like, oh my God, this is actually really good. It just kind of maybe didn't hit at that moment, or maybe it, you know, it flew under the radar a little bit, and you're like, wow, this album is like is amazing. You know, and I think it's very important to stick to your guns, because otherwise you're like, oh, that's the album they really tried to sell out. Like, that's the album they really tried to do something that's not, it's so easy to point out, you know. Go ahead. Yeah.
So, as we've been talking about the brand of the group itself, we got to get into your guys' work in the craft brewing thing.
Yes.
let's talk a little bit about Atlanta-Tucky Brewing.
Atlanta-Tucky,
yeah. Yeah, so, like, what was the vision for this? Were you guys always a craft brew kind of people, or did it just, like, you try one day, it's like, whoa, what's this?
Well, I was kind of known as the guy in Nappy Roots that would try different beers all the time. This is probably
nice.
Dating back to probably 12, 13 years ago. I would just try beers, man. There was a store beneath the place that I stayed that sold different beers. They only had a few at the time, but I bought a Sessions, one of those small session beers. Mm-hmm. And when I was checking out, he was like, if you want anything else, just let me know and I'll order. And that's the first time I realized, okay, I really can get more than just what's on the shelf. So I started looking for more and more. And I had I ordered a Blue Moon at a restaurant once, thinking I was really doing something. and the bartender, he told me, look, if you really want a good beer, same style, try Hoegaarden. And from there, I was just on the path to finding different beers. But moving forward about 6-7 years later, we just start picking breweries to be our promo spot whenever we get in town for a show. We're doing a show in Columbus, Ohio. First thing we ask is, where's the brewery?
Or
what's
it.
The brewery? Is it? Because it makes for good promotion. You meet some of the people who are really the heart of the city. Yep. You know, not the bougie people. You know, you're meeting the right class of people that fit Nappy Roots. And so from doing that, we was getting so many free brewery tours that we actually caught the bug to wanting to brew ourselves. And that led us to where we are now. We're at Atlanta-Tucky, like full on making beer all over the country.
I love that. I mean, I've been, I guess similar to you, trying beers and going to breweries for as long as I can remember. It seems like ages now. And I think it's so important for you guys to get into this. One, I think it's a world that it does not involve a black audience enough. I remember Brooklyn Brewery was the first brewery I remember with a black brewmaster. I believe Oliver, Garrett Oliver, is that his name?
Garrett, yep.
Garrett Oliver. And that was years and years and years ago. And I've probably been to 100, 200 breweries since then and barely any black representation. So I think it's amazing what you guys are doing, just to let you know that.
That's part of
thank you.
That's part of our mission too, is to introduce a new craft to the black community. Mm-hmm. And a lot of these breweries, they're opening up in old black neighborhoods.
Yes.
Where a lot of people, black people are still there trying to hold on to the houses. So it would be good to get, you know, the neighborhoods involved in the craft beer and introduce, because black people love beer too.
For sure.
No, absolutely.
People love good beer as opposed to regular gas station beer.
Yeah.
So, mm-hmm. That's our goal, too, is to introduce it to the black men.
Now, when Monday Night Brewing was the first one you guys kind of collaborated with, is that correct?
Yeah, correct.
Now, out of curiosity, like when you guys are getting in there and you're chatting with them about making beers, like what kind of student are you? Are the guys that are like, you bring in like a notepad and writing down all the information, or are you just like super excited? Like, let's throw a cantaloupe in there. Let's throw some pepper in there. Let's throw the cat in there. Let's go.
That's not far off.
I'm gonna stop you at the cat, but yeah, cantaloupe. Came up. You gone too far with the cat, but we'll fuck with you up to then. I think we're open. I think we come in, I don't necessarily notebooks, but we come in there to pay attention. We come in asking questions. Even when we're not making beer, for example, Monday Night gave us their brew system because we asked them so many questions before that. They was like, you know what? Why don't we just give you the shit we learned on, and you can learn that way instead of just Brooke. Yeah,
there it is.
That's it right there.
I got to take a screenshot of that for when we promote this. Hold on. Don't move.
Yeah, that's, man. Awesome.
That's the brew system they gave us. So, you know, we got the new system right there. With
damn.
Bill, and we're expanding and learning and trying to get volume, man.
Let me tell you, I brewed for a long time. I brewed for years. I've kind of taken a break over, but I still have all my stuff. It takes a while to get that, you know, to get all the stuff together. So that's a hell of a system right there.
Now, it's taken us three, four years to keep building up. But we're just as excited as we were from the beginning, man.
Are you guys at the point where are you collaborating on brewery recipes, or like one of you kind of like the head honcho of the recipe? Like, this is what we're going to try. Scales, it sounds like you're the point man on this.
Believe it or not, man, Skinny, we joke, man. He started out on Red Strike. Before that, in college, Skinny drunk Michelob. And he's the type of guy, he drinks what he drank. Don't ask him to change it.
Gotcha.
It took me years to get him here. But we both just as passionate about it, man. We a lot of times we like different style beers, but we're just as passionate. You know, we respect each other's opinion on each beer we make. A lot of times we try to do two beers so we can satisfy what he's trying and satisfy what I want to try to make. But nah, man, we both deep in it.
Love it.
You kind of brought up what I was going to ask. What was like your cheap beer going through like college and stuff? If I recall, I think mine was Red Dog.
Mine was Busch Light. Busch Light for me.
Busch Light.
Mm-hmm. Yo, I'm gonna say this. Those are two really good beers.
Have you had it lately?
I haven't, man. Busch Light. You know what's crazy? Back then, see, we drunk malt liquor. That was my first experience.
Yeah.
So if you could buy Busch Light, that was the good stuff.
Mm.
That was the good stuff.
And, right.
But nah, I love some Busch Light. But yeah, it's been about 25 years. It's a reason to buy it no more, I guess.
That's awesome. Guys, I could talk to you guys all night. I don't want to take up all your time. I want to thank the two of you for giving us some of your time. You keep putting out good music. You guys got to go check out Blind Faith and some of the stuff Nappy Roots got going on. What is on the horizon for you guys that fans could look out for besides the brewing and the music? Touring obviously is going to be a little weird for a while, but what should fans expect from you guys?
We have a new album dropping September 18th.
It's coming soon.
40. It's the trilogy to the 40 Acres Project and another 40 Acres, and the final album from this series will be 40. We'll be touring this later on in the summer, this fall. We have new beers coming out every month this summer, and you know, just trying to learn as much as we can and interact as best we can through this pandemic, and just trying to stay safe and raise our families right, man.
Love it.
Baby steps.
Guys, you guys are awesome dudes to talk to, and keep doing what you're doing because it means a lot to people out there. So,
appreciate you.
Thank you. And that means a lot, man. Thank you.
No problem. Skinny, you're in Douglasville?
Yeah.
Oh,
that's where I live. Well,
You shouldn't have told him that, Skinny. He's going to pretend he's the fifth member of the group.
I'm going to be knocking on your door with a six-pack of Busch Light.
Red Dog, bro.
We'll figure that out.
Yeah.
We'll do each.
Yeah, wait till you hear him rap. Wait till you hear him rap. It's,
well, let me come to you then so I can leave if I have to.
Guys, thanks so much.
But no, let's hang out. Let's hang out sometime, man. Cool.
Definitely. If you go to Hickstown, let me know. I'll definitely be there.
Love it.
I heard about that. I'm going to have to get out there.
Nappy Roots. Mike, I think you show up with the 4-pack, get like a real cool rap name, and just relentlessly try to hang out with them.
I feel like I could be their like next chapter, or I could be like the cousin Oliver, the group where they're just like, you know what, it's over, disband.
Okay. So you think
last season with the Nappy Burles showing up just did not work out?
I gotta say the Nappy Burles isn't that bad. That sounds all right. So you think it would be like Skinny DeVille, B Style, Ron Clutch, Fish Scales, and the Burles?
I mean, when you listen to that music.
You know, it would be great if you could still change Wikipedia. Remember how like people were able to freely edit that? And you could just you could be like, in 2020, in the month of June, Nappy Roots inducted a new member into the band.
I just show up to the security guy. I'm like, no, look at Wikipedia. I'm a
I'm a part of this group, man.
Oh, man, they're awesome. I want to thank Scales and Skinny there, man. Great interview.
Awesome.
All right, Mike. I hope Skinny has planned his fortifying strategy of his house, because I feel like you're going to be like, oh, I'm just going to go for a run and try to find his location.
Yeah, it's weird. Like, the second we hung up on them, I went on Realtor.com, and there was a new listing in Douglasville. It said, sell immediately, no as delay, is, take any is. Offer.
Seriously, I will take any offer. I need to get out of here.
Yeah, there was no pictures of the house. It was just Skinny running with his camera phone saying, just take it.
just holding the deed in his hand, just ready to pass it off to someone like a baton. But, you know, they're awesome, man.
He just left the door open, threw the keys in there, and he just said, it's yours.
It's a brewery now. Yeah, they were great, man. So, what do you got, Mike?
Well, I got the mail today. And
wow. This is where we're
found
at,
it
huh?
Odd.
We opened the show with mowing lawn techniques, and now Mike got the mail. We are crushing it today. Let's just say that.
Yeah, some of the spiciest topics comes to verbal shenanigans, people. You got to be careful.
Yeah.
But I got a handwritten letter from somebody.
Okay.
And it's a very odd thing here because I don't know this person.
Dude,
and
what is going
so
on
I'm
with
just
your... You have had some interesting interactions with a lot of people that you have no clue who they are. Now you're getting handwritten letters. You might have like a stalker or something. This might be the same person over and over again.
Well, it's somebody in Georgia. So,
okay.
I mean, maybe Skinny DeVille hired him just to get rid of me. I don't know, but
God willing.
I mean, right off the bat, it's odd. This person knows my full name, but in the letter and on the envelope, they don't give their full name.
Okay.
They just call themselves Charles S. And it's Charles S. And then at the end, it's parentheses, NG parentheses.
This sounds like...
I'm not really sure what that means.
This sounds like the start to like one of those movies where like you got to go meet at like a mansion, like Clue, like where you're like invited to some kind of like thing because you have to find who, who's going to get the money and why you're invited to some kind of mystery party. I think it's, you know.
Either that or they're trying to bring me in to hunt me, something like that.
Okay. Well, yeah, that works.
But, so here it is right here. It's delayed July 2nd, 2020. So this person got this done before it got his 4th of July plans going.
Okay.
Dear Mr. Berlew, we have never met before, but my name is Charles. Like you, my family and I live in Paulding County. Like right off the bat, it's kind of like, well, I don't know you. Don't mention that you're in the same county as me. That's
okay.
Odd.
This is already weird. Okay.
Yeah. My reason for writing to you is because the Bible has a lot to say about the time we are living in. Oh, God. At 2 Timothy 3, 1-5, it speaks of critical times hard to deal with. Mm. At Luke 21, 11, and at Revelation 6, 8, it speaks of pestilence. The current COVID-19 virus is an example. As a result, many people have questions and wonder what the end results of world conditions will be. Perhaps you also do. I have enclosed some scripture information in the form of a tract. I hope you enjoy reading it and the Bible's answers to the questions it asks. If you have any questions or would like to see more of what the Bible has to say, please visit our amazing website at jw.org. You may also contact me by writing to me at the above address. I hope you and your family are well and stay well during this difficult time. Sincerely, Charles S. He signed his last name. Have no idea of reading it.
Wow. Okay. So I like that there's someone that has to, is handwriting this and looking up people in their county to try to convince them to come to them. Now, it'd be great if next week you're like, ah, Scott, I can't record. I have I have to go meet with my parish down at down at the church. But apparently, you know, JW.org, Mike, is Jehovah's Witnesses.
Well, then you know what? I thank them for this because this is way better than them coming to my front door.
Yeah, right?
This is way better than them coming to my front door. In fact, well, let's finally give COVID some credit, okay? COVID, you got one right. We'll give you credit for that. 2020 is not as bad as we thought.
Yeah, this has got to be really hurting the Jehovah's Witness market, man. I'm not opening the door for some some weirdos that I'm not. Yeah. I also like the idea that they have they paid postage for that. They paid for the envelope. I wonder what the selection process is. Is it everybody, or are they like, I don't know, scanning around and looking for who this guy looks like? He could be one of us. You know, maybe you fit a certain characteristic.
So when I'm in my lawn doing my mowing game and doing zigzags and so forth, they're sitting back, you know, kind of holding their chin going, yeah, that's one of us right there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He's perfect. Look at him knock on his own door.
Did I ever tell you about the time a Jehovah's Witness came to our house when I was younger and I was screaming at my mom to come upstairs?
No. Did I ever tell you about my aunt and the Jehovah's Witness?
Well, let's get some Jehovah's Witness stories out here for the public, you know.
Yeah, naturally, this is where we
go. I guess I'll go first.
Go ahead.
Yeah, so this is my Jersey days. We're in South Brunswick, and I guess my mom was checking outside. Like, right off the bat, my mom is a complete homebody. She does not want to talk to anybody or go outside or anything when, like, my dad's at work or anything like that. So she wants nothing to do with nobody outside the family when my dad's working.
Right.
So I guess at some point she realized Jehovah's Witnesses were walking around the neighborhood.
Okay.
And she just wanted nothing to do with it. So she went downstairs to the basement. Now, at no point when she went to the basement, she informed me what she was doing or why she was doing it. Okay. So the doorbell rings. I open the door. There's like three people there. And they're like, blah, blah, blah. We would love to talk to your parent or something like that. I'm like, all right, sure. So I go to the basement, I'm in my regular voice, mom, somebody at the door. And then she's like screaming something back at me. And she's like, don't tell him I'm here. Don't tell him here. And I can't hear. And I'm like, mom, there's somebody at the door. Mom, what are you doing? There's somebody at the door. And she's getting mad. She starts screaming, I don't want to go out there. You tell him to go away. Mom, they're here specifically for you. So we're in a screaming match. Because she doesn't want to answer the door for these children.
You would be the worst.
And she won't tell me at any point.
You'd be like the worst guy to have in like the Marines, like trying to hide from like Nazi soldiers. They're right outside. Guys, they're looking for us.
You just see me knocking on the attic door. No. And Frank!
And
the guy's here to see you. They got some weird emblem on their jerseys. They're here to see you guys. Ann, what are you talking about? You don't want to see him. Ann!
You guys, you think they see us in the trench hole? You think they see us down here?
Yeah.
Hey, guys, what kind of religion were you? Is that Jewish? Hey, there's some German guys there to see you. Guys, where are you going?
So I had an aunt. I have an aunt, but when I think I said this before on the show, growing up, she was a clown, like a legit like clown, mm-hmm. Like would go and perform. Yeah. Perform like, I don't know, I guess mostly birthday parties and whatnot. I think I can't imagine clowns are still super popular among kids. I don't know. They somehow got that creepy horror vibe along the way, and nobody really likes clowns anymore, I don't think.
I don't even think, like, parents like getting clowns just because of... I think more parents are weary of clowns than kids. I think kids are more like, ah, I don't care about them.
Yeah.
Where parents are like, oh, you see it?
Yeah. Yeah. And she was part of, like, there's three... she had a part... Her name was Dimples. That was her clown name. And Tickles was the other one, which I can't imagine is a great clown name these days. But anyway, I remember my aunt would come back from like clown gigs into the, you know, July 4th barbecue. She'd come back and still have like clown makeup on. And she was really deep in the clown game. So apparently one time,
like,
she was driving over the Bayonne Bridge home from a clown gig. Okay. And her car broke down on the bridge, like right in the middle of the bridge. Now, there she has to, basically get out of the car. And this is like pre-cell phones, pre any of that. So basically, she has to get out of the car in clown outfit, basically trying to wave someone down to attempt to help her. Okay. Now, you see a clown on the side of the road. In a car, you think there's like 10 other clowns in that car. Like, you know, they're rolling deep. So
there's never a good feeling when you see a clown on the side road. Nobody goes, I like my chances with this.
Yeah, let's pick that guy up. That'll be fun. So what happened was it turned out to be two Jehovah's Witnesses. They picked her up and they drove her home and they were able to, you know, get her home, and then they have to go get the car or whatever. And she remembers, she said, like, she remembers, like, saying, is there anything I could do? Can I pay you? You know, whatever. And they're like, no. They said, the only thing you can do for us is in the future, whenever you, a Jehovah's Witness, comes to your door, offer them water. That was their ask of her, to offer them water for future Jehovah's Witnesses. Now, I don't know. I don't know if my aunt like took that advice and now like you know, broke. She like never broke a promise and like keeps that tradition alive and hydrates the Jehovah's Witnesses. Or that's just like maybe the Jehovah's Witnesses never plan ahead. They never bring water with them.
I wonder if it's like a secret code where they're almost like, oh, you're into something.
All right, well, here's...
Oh, you want to give me water? Oh, okay.
Yeah, maybe
right
that's...
There. All right.
Yeah, maybe that's like the, yeah, I'll join up. I'll join up, like, if you offer them water. Like, I'm... Here's what we got to do, Mike. You got to respond to that letter, have them come to your door, and then offer them water and report back to us and see what happens.
And I'll put clown makeup on because maybe that was the reason why they gave her the code.
Now, there's like, a great way...
If this was a normal... If this was a normal woman, we'd be just like, no, give me $5. But when they put the clown makeup on, it's just, I'm going to ring your doorbell.
There's
Tuesday afternoon.
There's a great way to test the Jehovah's Witnesses, how desperate they are for members. Hi, everybody. Just like, hi, like open the door. Clown, you got the flower on that squirts the water. How are you? Like, and just see if they just... carry through and, yeah, the Lord is our Savior. Would you like to join? You know, like, or they just walk away.
My name is Bonkers. Do you know the truth?
But,
how many disciples are there? Open that clown car. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Yeah, Mike, you could, if you go on JW.org, there's, what is the meaning of life? How can marriage be happy? Hope for the homeless and the poor. Is life worth living? That's the first description on the JW.org. So,
yes, I'm checking out the pamphlet that came with my letter. The questions that's in here: does God really care about us? Will war and suffering ever end? What happened to us when we die? Is there any hope for the dead? How can I pray and be heard by God? And how can I find happiness in life? All these and more on the next episode of Jehovah's Witness.
I was laughing because you basically read those points like a game show. Like, is it life worth living? What is the meaning of life? How can marriage be happy? But Mike, you could read the Bible online too if you want. That's a good perk of the site. You could just, you know, cross references, pictures, footnotes.
I don't think I can, Scott. I mean, if I could just read the Bible, that's all my friend would tell me. The fact that he told me to contact him tells me there's only a special way of accessing the Bible.
I think they're recruiting you. I think there was some standard they found that they think you would be the one. I think they're maybe like you're the only one. They've studied you since you moved in here, like whatever that was 2 years ago, and they've just been watching you every move, looking at you, studying you, like kind of like Get Out, but opposite. They're recruiting this white guy to join them. They're like, he's perfect to join our clan.
You know, you keep on saying I got like a God complex. Maybe
this is it.
Maybe the Jehovah's Witnesses said, yeah, that's him. I told you, we listened to episode 307. We knew it.
We've been searching for you, Michael. What if they came to your door and like you opened the door and they like got down on their knees and were like, oh my, like start bowing to you, like kiss your feet. Would you go with it? Would you just be like, arise, my people, it's okay? Or would you just like shut the door?
Maybe I'll just force them to do that yard work that may be late tonight, you know? That way we never have to worry about doing these podcasts past 8 o'clock.
My first commandment is for the how to hop on my ride-on mower and take care of thy lawn.
The Lord's mower has faulty brakes. If you truly believe in the Lord, you will find a way for them to work. That way the Lord will not have to use the push mower anymore.
Before you know it, you're going to have the Burlow compound down there. You're just going to have people living in the house, flocking to the house. It's, you know. It's a good start, I guess.
Yeah, but I'll have like the sweetest front lawn also. There'll be like freaking fountains in there and no weeds, and it'd be worth it. Izzy would be down with it.
She'll yeah, I think so too. Just tell them they're like Disney fans. They're just here for that. Remember, I got something in the mail.
No run from her.
Yeah. I got something in the mail from, remember a couple years ago, I got some weird religious thing in the mail too. Just funny that there's people out there that still, you know, think that's going to, like, I wonder what is the success rate of someone being like, oh, like, okay, like, I'm in, you know, like, following up on any of that. It's got to be really low. Really, really low.
That's got to be, like, half a percentage point or something like that. I mean, maybe it's better than like faxing this information, but
yeah,
not that much.
And who's the poor guy that has to handwrite all this? Like, oh, okay. Like, is he just cranking out letters, or like I said, are you the guy that they've selected and they're pushing all their chips in on you? They're like, this is our guy. But I don't know.
But like everybody else in the neighborhood, they got some kind of printout. But then they came to my house and they're like, no, get out the good paper. Get a quill pen and an ink blot.
You know how, this like, the recent reports, they said that, like, LeBron James wanted to go to the Knicks, but their presentation was so bad that he's like, I can't do this. Like, maybe they're trying to woo you and bring you into the, like, they're going to give you a whole presentation and, like, you know, really try to sell you on the old JH's. JWs, you know?
So what you're saying is, like, 3 months from now, I'm going to be on ESPN with my decision. And I'm like, I'm taking my...
yeah, yeah. They're going to put all the
religions... my talents down south.
They're going to put all the religions up there, and you're just going to, like, pick one, you know? Like, is he going to be a Buddhist?
Presbyterian? What the hell?
Well, anyway, Berlow, I think it's that time to get out of here. It was a good one this week. Good hang. Don't ever be late again. I'm watching you. Actually, what would you do if it was just me writing those letters to you? Did you home with this?
Scott, that says the Lord is coming and you better be there at 7 o'clock sharp. That's weird.
Listen to Verbal Shenanigans. What the hell is this? But
man, Jesus is really testing me now, man.
Berlew, anything to promote before we get on out of here?
We'll promote a friend's podcast. That's our friend KB Burke and his American Loser podcast. Every week he puts out a hilarious, in-depth podcast going deep dive into history's biggest losers in America. He puts out one episode a week, but if you love the show, he has a Patreon out there, patreon.com/AmericanLoserPodcast. And for $5 a month, you get a special bonus episode of the American Loser Podcast with KB Burke and his father, the Big Kahuna, and many guests on there. Scott Brennan might show up on
there. Yeah, yeah.
I got the offer if I ever show up in New Jersey again, so who knows? That is the American Loser Podcast. Or if you want to help support him, patreon.com/AmericanLoserPodcast.
All right, I'm going to go with something kind of a little different here. A guy I used to, I guess I went to high school with him, basically. But he has a, I don't know, he's got an interesting Instagram. And if you're into knives, he makes all custom knives and all like custom handles. And then another artist that I went to high school with, she's like the best artist I've ever seen in my life, is like doing like custom handles and drawing her art, and they're working on project together. So I figured it's a good way to kind of promote two of them. So follow them at RS Knifeworks on Instagram. That is at r.s.knifeworks. Go check it out. There's a, if you're into knives, they certainly look like some really well-made product. Berlew, I know you're into knives, but for different reasons. So,
You know, they don't want to promote my name on that site. But,
you know. And I guess that's it, guys. We got a lot of good ones coming up. I want to thank Skinny and Scales for a really cool interview. Go check out their new music and check us out on a whole bunch of different platforms. Just Google our name. We're out there. We don't got to go through them every single week. But best thing you can do is follow and share our podcast with your friends, your family, your kids, maybe, whatever you want to do. So before we go, Mike, would you like to lead us in a prayer? As we, I think that's appropriate tonight. Maybe give us a parting prayer for their listeners, and you know, maybe we gotta get our chakras aligned in this time of chaos in the country. Berlew, maybe you are the guy to bring us peace. So, okay, I'll bow my head.
All right, everyone, please bow your heads here.
Mm-hmm. Right.
As your Lord, I'd like to wish you all a wonderful evening. Thank you again for subscribing to the podcast. I am with you at all times during this trying situations. Okay. Maybe not much on the weekends because, you know, that's my NASCAR time. And, you know, the Lord needs his Sunday.
So the guru himself takes off. Okay.
Yeah. Yes. A solemn prayer to Charlie Daniels' family who passed away. I vow to make sure he doesn't get that rematch with the devil. He will come up to me one day because he's a great fiddle player. Again, I thank you all. No gingers. Amen.
Wow. Deep, Mike. Deep. I mean, it covered a lot of things. Almost seemed like you were rambling off the top of your head, but I know you prepared that well. Yeah, well before this show. So I want to thank you, Father Berlew. And guys, that's it. Life is funny. Laugh at it and keep the way at your back. Instead of waiting on a good day. Amen.
Salutations, my brothers and sisters.
Showing off the hot nappy roots on the radio, and you know what about last night hit the big